I said I wanted to relate to people on a one-to-one basis, but this is what I liked. I didn't care much for organization. So I organized a choral group at the lounge, and I went up there two nights a week, and I taught them songs. We sang in unison because they couldn't carry part singing. They would get lost. But finally, a man by the name of Pasikoff came, and he had been on the vaudeville circuit. And he could sing and carry a part. And so we could then have a tenor part in our singing. And I taught them all sorts of popular songs and classical songs. I'll never forget the Donkey Serenade and how hard it was for them to get those Amigo Mio, which was the Spanish, which was not Hebrew, which they knew. We also did some Jewish songs. And this man had married again. According to Jewish religion, if a man's husband dies, his wife is left a widow and he is free, he is expected to marry her to carry on the line.
If his brother dies.
And so he had married his brother's wife, former wife. And when we had the first anniversary of the lounge, he wrote a song about the lounge, and I'm going to tell you the words because this gives you an idea of what they thought of it, and his Yiddish and his English got all mixed up together. But he was great with his second wife, and he danced with her, and they enjoyed life. The tune was To the Anniversary Waltz, and it was Me and My Sadie Tanzen Baby. The Tennessee Waltz, Wir haben learned it at the Consul Lounge. And he went on at several verses, but this was very cute.
How old was he at that time?
Oh, must have been in his 80s. He was very sweet. And we had shows, and we would go places, and in fact, even for a council meeting once, we put on a show from the lounge. And this really gave me more pleasure than anything else because I loved teaching singing and I loved illustrating and I sang right with them and I held the baton and I sang at the same time. It was great. And Frieda Brauman came up and she used to help with the dramatic part. So we gave them dancing and singing. And this we had for several years. That was my last contact with the council lounge, because after that I got busy with other things and I wasn't able to continue. I did continue with something that I started at the council lounge. I didn't start it, but I started doing at the council lounge. And that was Council House, which is now in existence. And that was a halfway program for people who were recovering from mental illness. And I was asked if I would organize the same thing for them, which I did. And that I carried on for about 6 years. We had all kinds of programs. We used to perform at the mental health meetings in May.
When did that program start?
Well,
it
must have started in the 40s.
During your...
No. This was when I used to go up to the lounge to... conduct the choral for the council lounge.
So it was after your
presence. Way after, yes. I'm not sure of the date.
Approximately.
In the 50s, no doubt.
It had to be in the 50s, yes, because I left the council presidency in 52. And this was all during the time that I worked for the Levinson Foundation and later for the Rock. But this was a very vital part of the Council Lounge program.
Were you director of it?
Yes. Yes.
Seems to me they later, not too long ago, had a similar program, a halfway house for members.
They still have.
Is it still in
the It's not under council jurisdiction at all.
No, at the time that Shirley Levine was was chairman, and that's how Shirley and I became friendly. It was taken over by the United Fund, and it is funded, it is staffed with some of the people who were with it when we were involved. Mrs. Eby was assistant executive director then, and Pearl Roberts was director. Council paid her. But Pearl Roberts died very suddenly, and Mrs. Eby's been director since. And the character has changed some, and I don't have too much. In fact, I don't have any contact anymore.
Is there a house?
Council House has a wonderful program. They have a greenhouse where the mental patients are getting therapy and learning to raise plants. That's out near the Blind Floral Company on Route 19.
I think it's a tremendous compliment when a project which is started by Council is taken into the United Fund.
Well, that is one of the objectives of Council, to seek out a need, to implement the need, and then to get it started so that someone else can take over.
And to relinquish it when the time.
Yes, mm-hmm. Relinquish it when the time comes. Well, I think that that's about what I wanted to tell you about the council work. I did enjoy it, and I got to a point where I felt very happy with it. And the lounge and the way it worked was a great tribute to all the people who worked on it, and there were many.
Is there any other job which you've held which you want to give us some details about?
Yes, I would like to. If you have, how much time do we have?
As much as you want.
All right.
Up till 12 o'clock.
All right, I can tell you the other job. I mentioned that I had had two jobs in my life that were meaningful. The council job, the work at the foundation, and the other was work at the Y. Now, my work at the Y was almost like a homecoming to a place where I had worked as a volunteer from the time I was in my 20s. Because when I was in my 20s and I belonged to the Y Choral, and later there was a Women's Activities Committee, and lo and behold, I was secretary of that. I had worked on the Y in many, many activities. During the Depression, I had charge of formulating courses that the women who were used to being occupied with things that they could pay for, suddenly found that they had nothing with which to pay and they had time on their hands. One of the things that we organized, which I still am taking advantage of, is how to fix electrical appliances. We had the maintenance man at the Y who held a class, and we would bring in small appliances like a toaster or an iron or a little heater of some kind. And he showed us how to put a new plug on. If we had a small footstool or something that needed upholstering, we bought the materials, or I think maybe the Y even supplied the materials, and we learned how to put webbing on and how to fix things of that sort. We also had lots of other classes and other people were in charge, but those were the things that I was in charge of. Through the years, I became interested in the Y concert series, and from a person who sold the tickets, I suddenly found that I was membership secretary, which meant that I had to sell tickets and be in charge of filling the auditorium. And finally, I became chairman of the concert series. I succeeded Harold Cedar. This was in 1946. And
that's not a paid job.
No, but that's why I say when I went back to the Y, it was like a homecoming. In 1962, my husband and I had just left the foundation. The foundation was being handled in another way. And I went to a party that Herman Pasemanek was having for his son, who was just announcing his engagement. And I met Mr. Arbach, Jerry Arbach, there. He was the director of the Y. He had met me at the Levinson Foundation a number of times because he was trying to sell them on this Monroeville project, which he succeeded in doing.
Monroeville project.
Which, this is a family camp, and the Y, the Levinson Foundation had been giving money to the Y, and it had been accumulating for the purpose of buying a camp, an overnight camp, to replace the Emma Kaufman. But Jerry sold them on the idea of togetherness for families, and he sold them on the idea of a family camp. Well, Jerry met me there, and whether he was impressed with me or whether he was looking for a worker, I don't know. But he came up to me, and this was the second time I was offered a job at a party. He said, I'm looking for someone to work with the Women's Activities Committee of the Y, which we're just formulating. Do you think you might be interested? You're not doing anything now, are you? I said, no, I left the foundation. He said, well, come and see me. We'll talk about it. So I came and saw him, and we talked about it. And I soon found that I didn't only have the Women's Activities Committee, but I had all the adult activities at the Squirrel Hill Center and all the adult activities at the Y. And I carried as many as 14 programs.
It seems impossible.
It was not impossible because I was a very energetic person and I was a pretty good manager. And that doesn't mean that if I arranged a Mahjong game that I had to lead the game. I had to arrange for the speaker, for the teachers. I had to take care of the publicity. I had to get the Mahjong sets. I had to have the room. I had to do all the arranging. Today, the Y is still having duplicate bridge four nights a week, which I organized 14 years ago. And that has been very successful there. Pearl Malinger is a fine director. All that I had to do in the beginning was to sell the Y on the idea. Many of them thought, the board people thought, that it might be gambling. They didn't know anything about bridge. And they didn't know that duplicate bridge is really a compliment to the people who play in it, because they've got to be very brainy or they can't do it.
Or at least have card sense.
Or card sense. Well, I think you need brains too. And that was one of my projects. And I ran, at one time I ran 14 projects. As far as group work was concerned, I had had group work training. I never took a formal social work course, as I mentioned to you, but I had taken courses here and there and everywhere. And there's nothing that beats in-service training. And Jerry came to me, Jerry Arbach came to me one day and said, here, read this. And he showed me a letter from somebody who said, I would like to have the Y give us a room to meet. We are single parents. We belong to parents without partners, but we don't like it because it's matrimonial in purpose. We would like to meet and have help with our children. And raising children without husbands or raising children without wives, we need professional help. So Jerry said, here, take care of it. I said, I'm not qualified to do that. I've never done anything like that. He said, you'll learn. You'll make mistakes, but you'll learn. So once again, I did some digging, and I organized the Y group, which is called Single Parents, and which is flourishing now and doesn't need anyone. But that was in 1966 that I organized that. It's 10 years now.
This was a paid job.
Oh, yes. Yes, when I went to Jerry, he offered me $5,000 a year, and I said, I'm making more than that at the foundation. So Jerry said, well, I know, but this is a social agency, and you love the Y, and you told me you love the Y. You told me it's like coming home. And he said, look, you get a month's vacation. And he sold me a bill of goods. He was a smart man. But I would have gone anyway. A-U-E-R-B-A-C-H. I would have taken it anyway. I would have taken it for $4,000 because I love the Y. And it was like coming home. And I had nothing to do. My husband was involved in business. We went out in the evenings, we went to concerts, we went to theaters, we visited friends. But
I think that was
parties.
A wonderful job.
Yeah, I loved it.
I think you were lucky.
And
except
when I got,
that she would have liked a little more money.
Well, I mean, when I left, I was getting a great deal more because as time went on, I proved that I was... Oh, I was there on probation for 3 months. But I didn't have to... At the end of about 2 weeks, he sent me a note and he said, you are no longer on probation. So I have been working at the Y ever since, and this has been a great source of pleasure to me. And one of the things that I enjoyed most of all was the Women's Activities Committee and getting to know these women who in the council didn't know I lived. On a very intimate and close and friendly basis. And most of all, Jane Epstein. And Jane and I are very close friends today.
She's never been active in council, has she?
Yeah, she was vice president when I was president once. Jane and Adrian Porter. Do you know her? And Jane and Adrian have been not only friendly, but they have been friends. And there have been many others there whom I felt very close to and whom I loved. And when I retired from most of my work. When I was 71 years old, that was about 3 years ago. These girls had a party for me and gave me a most beautiful gold and diamond pin, and tributes such as you couldn't even begin to think of, because they seemed to feel that I filled a niche in the agency, and the Women's Activities Committee was disbanded after I left, and we got a new director, and it was absorbed into the general program. But I loved working with the Women's Activities Committee, and I still am friendly and on intimate terms with many of the people whom I worked with there.
Well, you filled a great need in the community.
It was the concept then was dividing and filling, having programs of special interest to women. For example, our gourmet cooking was tremendous. In fact, when I retired, Mr. Rotman, who was then our director, asked me if I would just continue with that one program. And I did. And I continued with it for 1 year. And that was when I had a heart attack, and after that, I didn't do anything but the one program that he asked me to stay on with. And the program I stayed on with was the stroke program. When I told him that I was leaving, he said, don't leave us. Pick what you want and stay in any capacity you want. And he said a few other things which made me feel that he really wanted me, that he wasn't being polite, because 65 is the required retirement age. And I was then 70, past 70. So I worked with the stroke program. Now, that is a program that is co-sponsored by the Y and the Visiting Nurse Association. And it was organized in 1966 for the purpose of helping people who had had strokes and were no longer in need of the physical services that the visiting nurses would give, such as bathing and feeding and shots and things of that sort. It was to give them a sense of belonging to the world and a chance to exchange problems and ideas with people who have had the same problem. And the goals of the stroke programs, there are 8 in the city. They were started by a nurse who, in McKeesport, found that her patients, when she had to stop giving them service, needed something more. And the various agencies in the community, different community centers, pay for the services of the social worker or the group leader, and the VNA, Visiting Nurse Association, provides the nurse. And these programs have grown and flourished, and they are tremendous today. We, because we are in the Oakland district, get our referrals. The referrals come from visiting nurses, from hospitals, from doctors, from friends, from people, from anywhere. We have quite a number of black people in our group. We have quite a number of non-Jews. We have quite a number of Jews. When I took over, there were 11 people in the group. I took over while I was still working for the Y on a full-time basis. That was one of my 14 groups. But it was not hard for me because there were only 11 people and because we didn't have as full a program as we have now. As time has gone on, we have gotten more and more referrals, and we have 44 people in our group now. Now, we do not get 44 people every meeting for the reason that those who are in the higher economic brackets take vacations, they go to Florida in the winter, they go to the shore in the summer, they belong to clubs, swim clubs, so that our core group is usually the poorer group. But we have something that I consider phenomenal, and for that reason, I believe ours is the group that visitors are always sent to. And I think that that's a real compliment. It has nothing to do with me, it has nothing to do with anybody, but the people themselves. They embrace each other because of their common denominator, and rich or poor, white, black, educated or not educated, people with master's degrees and people who went to the sixth grade. There is no difference when they walk into that room. And they sit down together and they love each other. And if somebody is sick and I announce that so-and-so is ill or had a death in the family or had a new grandchild or whatever, let's have their address. Let's write them a letter. And this is the thing that priceless.
May I ask two questions? Who inspired that general atmosphere in this particular group? Somebody must have you.
Because you say it's
phenomenal and outstanding.
I don't ever take credit for what I do because I think it comes from everybody. The one thing that I have always done is to show no favoritism and to tell people constantly, they say, oh, no, I can't do it. I always say, you're just as important as anyone else here. When you walk into this room, everyone who walks in is important.
It's group therapy working.
Yes, it's group therapy. It's doing it. We have structured meetings, but they don't know they're structured because they're not kindergarten children, as you mentioned in the training session. They're adults. And we have had a very successful program, and I hope now that I'm leaving that it will continue that way.
Another question, Pauline. Are they very much handicapped, these people, or not in real life?
Well, I can tell you exactly. Of the 44, we have about 6 who use wheelchairs. Mm-hmm. Now, they don't need the wheelchairs. Only about 3 of them need them all the time. The other 3 are really using them for convenience because when they go to the swimming pool area, we have developed a swimming and hydrotherapy program. When I came, there were 2 people in the hydrotherapy program, and now we have 13. That's as many as we can take because we can't handle more in the pool. You were asking me how many were handicapped, badly handicapped. The rest of them use either walkers or canes. Almost everyone uses a brace or an arm brace. But something like this would be interesting to you to show you the type of thing that happens. One of our men has been in a business, in the shirt business for many years. He's very well-to-do. Lives in Darlington Court. He's a widower. He's very badly affected from his stroke, and he can't hold his arm up because he's a heavy man, and the arm drops. So he has a foam rubber cushion that he carries under his arm. One day he came in and he said, give me the names of all the people who you think could use a cushion like this. And he came in a few weeks with cushions for 7 or 8 people. And now this is the kind of thing you get. Yes. Or a woman came in with a ring the other day, an inflated ring, because one of our women had a hemorrhoid operation. It was hard for her to sit. Mm-hmm. And this woman had it and had the ring. And she said, here, use it as long as you need it. This was a poor woman. She could hardly talk. We have a lot of trouble with aphasia. You know, the loss of speech or the loss of words, word finding. Mm-hmm. And this woman, who is a Polish little woman, she used to be a cook, not a Jewish woman. She had that, and with her, you know, with her mouth and with her gestures, she said, I bring. And she brought. Last week, a man brought in a 3-pound can of Electroperk coffee. My birthday, I bring. You see, that there is this
feeling. It's a beautiful
feeling.
Program.
It's great, and I want to cry every time I think of leaving it, but I can't. I can't stand it anymore. I'm not able to. It's very taxing physically. Mm-hmm. We have volunteers. We have the most wonderful rapport with an agency called RSVP. Have you ever heard of it?
Sounds very familiar.
They advertise on television. Retired Seniors Volunteer Program. And they take the senior citizen and try to use the senior citizen in the community in some way where they can be used and useful. And I called them one day because I needed some help to get some of our men dressed and undressed when they went into the pool. If you can picture trying to button a shirt or get your shoes on. So I asked if there was a man who could come and would be willing to come once a week on a Thursday morning to help people dress and undress. So they said, all right, we'll see what we can do. And who was it? B. Miller, whom you know.
Sure.
She was one of your
presidents,
mm-hmm. Yes. B. Miller was in charge of the RSVP program. Mm-hmm. She's retiring now in January. Mm-hmm. And she said, how would you like a man who is a swimmer, who used to be a swimming coach? Mm-hmm. I said, I would love it. So she said, I will send you a man. And we have the dearest little man who is Welsh, a Welshman with a beautiful, thick Welsh accent. And he's like my husband, like about 5'3". And he comes in, and he's full of pep and flashing eyes, and he's 82, 83, something like that. And he goes back there, and he helps them not only dress and undress, but he helps them in the pool. Our nurse is supposed to do the exercise in the pool, and the exercise consists of taking, you know what range of motion is? Mm-hmm. Well, the range of motion is anywhere from the finger to the wrist to the elbow to the arm to the leg to the hip. You go through all of the joints. They do range of motion exercises in the pool, and they do it with the good limb helping the bad limb. But you need people. We have 4 volunteers in the pool. In addition to this man, we have a dear man who is black, who used to be a fireman, who comes to the Y for another therapy program, a heart therapy program. He's retired. He's in his 40s. And he comes and helps the people dress and undress, and he helps with this exercise. We have a woman who is also a Gentile, and Myrtle Wilson, who used to be a captain in the Marines. She's a great, big, tall, gangling lady. And she's very bossy, which you would naturally be if you were a captain in the Marines. And one day my nurse came back to me and she said, there's a lady back there that's raising all kinds of trouble. She's very angry because there's a little boy in the pool and this isn't the period when the children are allowed in. So I went back and they pointed her out to me, and I said, Miss Wilson, my name is Pauline Ozeroff. She said, so? No. I said, I would like to explain something to you. Perhaps you'll understand. why Denny is in the pool. So he is helping his grandmother. Now, his grandmother was over on the side. We didn't have all the volunteers then. He was helping her take this arm and do this with it and lift up her leg and whatever else had to be done. It was during summer. He was a 10-year-old child. Maybe at that point he was swimming across the pool. I don't know. Probably was. So she said, why? What's the matter with his grandmother? Why can't she help herself? So I said, would you walk down with me to the other end of the pool? She walked down. See these people with life jackets on? These are our people. The striped life jackets show that they belong to our group. And I explained to her, and she said, well, I volunteer in my church. Why shouldn't I volunteer here? So we got another volunteer, and that's Myrtle Wilson, and she is just great. And another thing she does is to take photographs all around the world. And she gives programs, and she's paid for the programs, but not at the Y. She gives us her programs when she gets back. So that's where we got another volunteer. And that is the way we have done. And these volunteers come in the morning, and we serve them lunch. Our lunch consists of cheese, and I buy a loaf of bread and a pound of cheese. Our people bring their own sandwiches. We serve a beverage and dessert. Last week was Halloween, so we had cider and donuts. We don't always have fancy.
I must say, to be a volunteer and be wet is really something to get credit for. Yes. I wouldn't want to be a wet volunteer in a pool.
Well, but if this woman came swimming, see.
But to stand there and work while you're wet, you're not swimming. That really is fortitude and devotion.
So fortunate with our volunteers. Mm-hmm. And I wrote them up for one of the VNA little newspapers that they
VNA?
Have, Visiting Nurse Association. Mm-hmm. We are very lucky. And another time I called Mrs. Miller, B. Miller, and asked for a speaker from VNA. I just thought it would be a nice thing for us to know what's going on there. And she said, would you like, do you do anything about therapy, crafts? I said, yes. She said, who teaches it? I said, I'm sorry to say that I do, and I'm not very good at it, but if someone shows me how to do it once, I can show them. So she said, how would you like a crafts person on your staff, voluntary? So, of course, we now have a volunteer crafts person. She comes once a month. She came to our Sukkot party. I always have Jewish holiday parties and Gentile holiday parties. We had our Sukkot party, and I told them that it was the same as Thanksgiving, as the first Thanksgiving. This girl, this volunteer, came in with her boyfriend. And she brought us cookies that she made. She didn't come for lunch. She came after lunch. I had invited her for lunch. And she stayed. So we're very lucky in the way our program is going. And I trust that it will continue to go that way. And this is what I have done at the Y. This is very briefly what I've done, because I've done many things that I've enjoyed. And some of the things I did that I really didn't enjoy so much, but had to be done, so I did them. But this last program, I feel, is really a swan song that I can be happy about, because I feel that many people are being helped because of it. So that's it.
When are you retiring?
January 22nd.
1976. They'll miss you.
Well, it stands to reason that each person brings something. The new person whom I recommended is young, she's well-trained, she has good health, and she can walk a lot faster than I can now. And I think that if she bothers to get to feel the people as I do, and I know that she's well-trained, that they will be happy with her in time.
Time will tell.
Yes. If you ask me a question.
Pauline, will you give us a brief outline of your early marriage, setting up the house, and raising your children, the names.
Certainly, I'd love to.
And such.
We married in 1922, and since my husband was of great age of 30, he felt he'd better hurry up and have a family or it would be too late. And so we had two children in rapid succession. They're 21 months apart. Paul was born when we were married 10 months, and Maurice, whom we called Bruddy, because Paul gave him that as a nickname because he couldn't say Maurice, was born 21 months later. I raised the two boys almost together until they got to an age when they said, now don't dress us alike. If Paul has a blue coat, I want a red coat. I don't want to wear the same kind of a coat that he wears. And then I realized that I had to differentiate. Our early marriage was happy but busy. Iz was in business with his father, but his father was ailing at the time, which meant that he had the lion's share of the work. And his business was pants manufacturing, which in those days was a flourishing business and which later on became less and less so as the laundries started furnishing the work pants to the working men and people no longer had to buy them. I enjoyed my married life. I enjoyed being the wife of a man who was well thought of. He was very dear and very considerate of me, and being 10 years older, treated me like some kind of a wax doll until I showed him that I really had feet of clay and I could do things on my own.
Can you tell us about the differences of raising children? Any particular differences you see between then and now?
Oh, very, very different. The word babysitter didn't come into the vocabulary until much, much later. Everybody who could afford maybe $10 a week had a nursemaid. There was no question about that. And I always had someone to do the work part of raising the children. But I had a very strict mother, and she had very strict ideas of what you should do for your children. And regardless of what I did for myself, I had to be home when they came home from school, and I had to supervise all the things for children that should be supervised, and I also had to be available to them as a mother, and I don't regret it. The children, as they grew older, became almost insanely interested in sports. And yes, well, to the exclusion of many other things. They took violin lessons, they took piano lessons. Paul and Brud both had the seashore test given to them when one of our friends who was a psychology major needed people to practice on. The seashore test was, of course, to evaluate their ability for music. They both came out extremely high, Paul higher than Brud, but it turned out that Brud became the one who was the musician. Paul to this day appreciates and loves music. Brud has veered over into the popular field entirely. His business to this day is in the field of music. He has a record service, a distributorship for records, and he conducts that business all over the eastern part of the United States. Today he's in Florida.
He lives in Florida?
No, he doesn't. He has a home in Florida for the winter all year, and his wife is there in winters for reasons that I will tell you later. But he has a business branch in Florida. The boys, as I said, were insanely interested in baseball. My father used to call it a morbid interest because he liked exact terms. They played, they were hurt, they broke arms, they broke legs. They did all the things that normal boys do. They were very bright in school, but I can't say they were studious. their elementary school education. They went to Linden, where we had a wonderful principal, Ms. Patterson, Dr. Patterson. And I think I mentioned in a previous interview that this was the reason that many Jewish people moved into our neighborhood. So from two or three Jewish friends, they finally, by the time they got to high school, had quite a number. They resented my taking them to Sunday school when it became Sabbath school, because that interfered with their football games, which were Saturday mornings.
They really were interested in sports.
Oh, mm-hmm. They certainly were, and until the time that they were old enough to drive, it used to be part of my motherly assignment to drive them to their games. And many a day I sat in the car and read while they got themselves mauled up playing football, baseball, or whatever it happened to be.
Their schooling, the rest of it.
Yes. Well, they went to Linden School, then they went to Peabody High School. The reason they went to Peabody was that Miss Patterson divided the children up in one way or another, and the Linden was on the border line where they could go to either Alderdice or Peabody. Paul graduated Peabody. Brad, in his senior year, wanted to go to Alderdice because by that time he had girlfriends and boyfriends who went there, and he wanted to be with them, and so he was transferred. They both graduated there. They both went to the University of Pittsburgh, and that's the extent of their formal education. I always did feel that what they learned after they graduated.
Quite often it happens.
Yes.
Well, I think that's a good report on the children. Now, can you just give us some background of your social life?
Oh, yes.
Hobbies, religion particularly.
Religion, I think that I mentioned previously that I was the one member of the four children in our home who really was extremely interested.
I'm referring to your religious life you were married.
After we were married, well, Iz had already been a member of Rode of Sholem Temple, which he joined when he was in college. My family joined Rode of Sholem as soon as they came, and we did go to temple, and we also observed the holidays in our home, the Seder, and we always had a sukkah and things of that nature. But the formal part of religion was not as important to me as the personal dedication I always felt. I was, as a child, confirmed, which was rather unusual in those days. My husband was bar mitzvah when he was a little boy. He did not veer toward the orthodoxy in which he was raised at all. We were not kosher. We did not have a kosher home. But we had a spirit of religion in our home regardless.
Now, your social life was mostly directed toward your social work.
No, our social life in the early days tied in mostly with music.
So that your social life and your hobbies would be overlapping.
That is true, and my husband was very much immersed in his business, but he also had a great dedication to the community. I was planning to tell you this when I told you about my father, but this might be an interesting place to put it. My father believed that the boards that he helped to work on in Pittsburgh should have young people on them, and my husband was the youngest member of the Hebrew Free Loan Association, and as such, he went to their meetings every Tuesday night and in time became their president. Our social life also was involved in the Pittsburgh Wholesalers Association, which my husband was active in, and of which he was president as a little bit later in our lives.
I forgot,
the Pittsburgh Wholesalers Association. Now, that's a group of stores on the Avenue, Fifth Avenue and Penn Avenue, and every 2 years they had an election, and when the time came, he was president. He was a very shy man. He didn't talk very much, but when he said something, a friend of mine used to say, you can build a building on it. Yes,
that's a compliment.
That's the kind of man he is today, although since he's been retired and since he has more time for living, our social life has developed a great deal more, and we go out a great deal. We love music, and that's part of our lives and always has been.
Good. Now, I do believe...